welcome into Stacking Dubs. Your host, Chris Chin here. Happy Lunar New Year, Chinese New Year, Gung Hei Fat Choi. To those celebrating, my favorite term means you get a red envelope with some money in it when you say it. I guess I'll lead with, hey, that's the only celebrating we're going to be doing for a while because the Warriors are just, it's brutal to watch. Even coming off of a nice little all-star break and getting some rest. And, you know, we were all excited to see what we thought was going to be Steph returning back after 3 weeks off. Was not the case. Steph, I think you already know that runner's knee just still a little sore. I think still a little swollen. At least they did an MRI to confirm that there is no structural damage. They confirmed it is still just runner's knee, but they're shutting him down and they're going to reevaluate in 9 days from today. And then we'll see. So missing at least 5 games, and it's hard to believe that the Warriors are going to win any of those games. I know they have stolen a couple, but this offense particularly just looks helpless without Steph and obviously without Jimmy. No real engine, no true ball handling. I mean, really, Melton's the only one that can actually create for both himself and others. You have Pods dribbling around, just pretty ineffective. And, you know, he's just kind of been what he is. He's going to be maybe a 10-point scorer on up and down efficiency. And, you know, he'll rack up some assists, but not quite really a true playmaker. And so there's just not a lot of sources for shots. And then, you know, you throw in the fact that our defense also isn't stopping anybody and being undersized and not having a perimeter real presence there or athletic wings. And you're not able to stay in front of teams like the Celtics. And that's how you get down 34 points. So it's frustrating. And at least you saw a little bit of that second unit make a push towards the end of the game, which they have tended to do a lot recently. You know, we're talking the GP2, Guy Santos, Melton, and usually Horford units, so that Horford wasn't as much in there this time. It was more Porzingis, who we'll talk about in a bit. But went on a 15-0 run in that fourth quarter, got the Warriors back within almost striking distance, got within almost single digits. And that unit, I mean, really, it's just played hard. It's randomly made shots. GP2 is shooting like 40% from three over the last 11 games. And, you know, you get that high energy unit and you're playing against teams that are already playing with a big lead and kind of getting lazy with the ball. So not to discredit this unit's effort, but I guess it's just good to see a little bit of signs of life and just something that has worked for most of the season. Just kind of that second unit, particularly when it had Jimmy Butler, finding ways to win minutes without Steph Curry on the floor. So something to build on. And you just like to see guys like Guy Santos really just starting to blossom in front of our eyes to the point where he's going to need a new contract. And I hope that we can re-sign him. And I hope that he's not playing himself into too much more new money for the Warriors' sake. I'm fine with him getting paid, but the Warriors do need to have more role players because the contracts in the offseason get pretty dicey. I don't know if you're going to be able to bring back Melton and Porzingis. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, but it's going to have to be a lot of minimum contracts. It's going to have to probably be Draymond Green taking a little bit of a pay cut voluntarily by opting out of his player option and taking less than the $28 million that he's owed next year, which doesn't seem unreasonable seeing that Draymond Green has been pretty underwhelming, useless. I mean, you can fill in however you think of Draymond right now. Aside from the big game of, playing good defense on Wembanyama and still being a very high quality elite defensive player when he's up for the challenge, which was not last night, the offense has just been atrocious without Steph Curry there. Last night, Draymond, 0 points on 0 of 7 shooting, a negative 28 in the game. He's not playing full minutes anymore because why would he? I don't know. The offense, it can't be him just standing on the outside, not moving off the ball, being just a standstill shooter, shooting whatever, below 30-ish percent from three on enough attempts to waste possessions and not being an efficient scorer, turning the ball over a lot. It wasn't terrible last night, but it's turning the ball over a lot. And he's just doesn't really give you much on offense without Steph Curry there in that screen and roll action with him, without, their little dribble handoff action. Draymond needs to find new ways to affect the offense. You saw one glimpse of it where he finally passed up a 3-point shot and attacked the closeout, put the ball on the deck, and created an opportunity for somebody as he got into the paint and kicked it out. Gotta be more of that. Gotta start attacking closeouts. Need to develop some sort of a counter move when you're dribbling towards the paint. Every time you see Draymond, when he starts putting the ball on the floor, it's immediate straight line to the hoop, and he's jumping off of one leg, and it's a tough finish. Doesn't seem like he has any kind of change of pace. Doesn't He's just always out of control when he's attacking the hoop. Doesn't pass well off the dribble, kind of once he touches the paint. I want him to learn a little bit from what Jimmy Butler does and what he's been teaching other players on this team to do, and that's to play off of 2 feet. It's to attack the paint, but then jump stop off of 2 feet, and now you have options, right? You can still go up. You can pivot out of it. You can pass out of it. You can head fake, draw a foul. A lot more options once you decelerate, which Draymond Green has no decelerate in his game, figuratively, literally, no decelerate to any part of him. He's just gonna go, light the fire and go. And I mean, it's been a lot of years of Draymond Green. And I mean, can you tell me what his hot spot on the court is? Like, where are you okay with Draymond? Like, hey, we need a bucket and the ball's in Draymond's hands. Like, get to this spot and we're okay with that shot. Aside from a wide open layup, I mean, there really isn't a spot. He likes that little push shot from the middle of the key, not a high enough percentage. Anything inside the key, it's just, I've never seen him consistently knock down from a spot on the court, and even from three. I mean, he shoots a lot of threes, and he has his preferred corner or top of the key spots, but I mean, is there anywhere inside that mid-range or closer into the hoop where you're shooting over close to 50%? Like, not really. Like, can you just dedicate yourself to getting comfortable from an elbow or just inside the free throw line? Can you find a reliable counter move? Can you just find something that you can go to as your 1A move that you're gonna score on at least once a game, and then have some sort of counter move off of that? It's just not efficient enough, and especially again with Steph Curry gone, you're just not seeing any effectiveness on the offensive side of the ball. I'd venture to say he's one of the more negative offensive impact players in the league when Steph Curry's not playing. Doesn't give you much. Then again, you throw in all the turnovers, and I mean, I guess he's a fine ball handler in terms of dribbling before he throws aggressive passes. That's about all he's giving you at this point with this team, is someone to dribble the ball up the court. So again, if this is the case, Draymond, you want to win, you want to put your money where your mouth is, maybe you opt out of that player option and you take something closer to kind of that 10 to $15 million range, and that's going to give you potentially enough where we can re-sign Melton, and depending on how Porzingis looks, re-sign Porzingis and then maybe some other veterans. Talking about Porzingis, so I guess we buried the lead because we've been excited to get Porzingis. We've been excited for him to be healthy. We had to wait the All-Star break, but seems like he's healthy, just rusty and out of shape. And he's gonna build up that cardio. They intended to play him in little 4-minute spurts for about 16 minutes or so. Ended up playing about 17. And for being rusty and not being too spry of foot, I mean, looked pretty good. 12 points on 5 of 9 shooting. Had a couple threes. Had, I think, either one or two blocks. First stint, not very good. They came in, and not necessarily his fault, but in the 4 minutes he came in, they went minus 15 to start the second quarter. But then he came in later on, and in that fourth quarter was part of that 15-0 run. And you saw glimpses of what he can do for this team. First, it's especially with Jimmy Butler gone. When he's catching that ball down low in the post, Boston immediately double teamed him and proved that he can be a good passer, sees the floor pretty well from that. Had one little turnover forced to, I think Melton was cutting. But, several times you saw him take that extra beat, realize that, hey, they're The defense is collapsing to the cutter. I can find a 3-point shooter in the corner, weak side. Obviously, tall enough to have good vision and really just survey the floor. And I think he's going to be a very effective passer out of that post. Obviously, he can score from anywhere as a shooter. I guess kind of like Klay Thompson in that, he can just stand in a spot, use his size to elevate or just stand and shoot over his smaller defender. And that range really stretches, to the logo. You saw it last night. I mean, he can get it out there. And a couple of those shots a little flat. Obviously, that'll make it better as his legs get under him. But that spacing that he gives you, probably haven't had anything outside of Steph like that since Klay Thompson. Not gonna compare the two, but just having that person that commands the defense really stretch out a step or two beyond the arc. Throw in the fact that he can catch anywhere in that mid-range, and like Klay, used to be able to kind of hit anything in that little 10-foot range from the elbows, the baseline, just kind of knock down. Not going to create off the dribble very much, but when he has his feet set, he's going to knock down a shot. I think the fact that you can dump it into him late shot clock and he's going to be able to get to a good look. And if the double team comes, pass out of it, that is a huge advantage builder that the Warriors don't have. Right now, we have no advantage builders. We talked about Melton, sure. Other than that, no one creates an advantage outside of Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler. Now, in theory, you're healthy. You have three, maybe four of them if you bring back Porzingis and Melton next year, and they all do it in different ways. I liked it. I thought that Porzingis showed a lot of potential for it to fit going forward next year with a healthy Warriors. And it seems like he gets along with the team, has always been a good teammate, gives you a little bit of size in the paint on defense. You saw as soon as he was in the game, Boston's not attacking the hoop as much anymore, and they're not really getting any layups, and it's just a different game. Not the best rebounder, but at his size, you'll take it. Everyone box out. You just need somebody who can go up and get it, but doesn't rebound quite as well as you would hope for his size. But again, rebounds and the size is enough. So yeah, I think successful debut. Can they now scale him up? And by say in the next couple of games, you're kind of upping his minutes closer to 20 minutes a game, little 5-minute shifts, or 4 or 5 minute shifts. Eventually they'll get him up, and hopefully by the time Steph gets back and up to speed in about a couple weeks from now, you're gonna at least get maybe 15 games if everyone's healthy to see how it works and see how effective that pick and pop can be. That's what I really want to see the most in this the rest of the season. How does Steph and Porzingis work off of each other? It's gonna be similar to what like Quinton Post and Steph were doing, where Quinton setting that screen, and he's getting all you can eat on that pop. I would assume Porzingis commands a little bit more of that defensive attention. So what opens up off of that? That alone is a good, efficient offense when you have two guys that command that amount of spacing, screening for each other, and everyone sees the floor well and can pass. So we will leave it there. We will talk to you again after next. Try to take little positives away in what's been a very frustrating time for us. But Porzingis, nice shiny new toy. Let's just hope we can keep that toy in mint-ish condition, keep the rust off of it, keep it from falling apart, and just keep them healthy and on the court. All right, you guys all have a very good one. I will talk to you next time. I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stack it up.